Thank you, FSYC. Their program is tonight. I know you'll want to come out and support them. What a wonderful message that God makes us new. Indeed, that's why we gather here each Sunday, is for God to make us new. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we're delighted you're here. We'd invite you to fill out a visitor's card, a guest card. They're in the pew in front of you, and drop that in the offering plate that we might have that record. Anybody lose power? According to the text Duke Energy sent me when it came back home, 312 of us lost power. Hear Jesus' words. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we live in a world of darkness. The power is out in many homes, in many hearts, and in many lives. We pray, O God, that we might be able to bring, unlike Duke Power, that eternal light, that light that never goes out, regardless of storms, that we might indeed realize the light in our own life, that we might not only embrace, but today we might worship. And so, God, we pray, hold our head up and make us new. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Okay, so stand and turn to hymn number 430. We'll sing four verses of Sunshine in My Soul.
Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day and this time of worship. Please open our minds so that we may receive your word, and please use this offering to further your kingdom. In your name we pray, amen.
Good morning. How are y'all doing today? Good. Okay, well, I'm Becca, and I know a lot of y'all, but I'm going to be with y'all this summer, so whenever you see me, you can come on down. So I have a question. What is this?
A flashlight.
Flashlight. Yeah, that's right. So what is the purpose of a flashlight? What does it do?
To see.
But when do you need to use it? In the darkness, right? Because it's hard to see in the dark. Because I can see right now. So, when I turn it on, if I click this button, what's going to happen? Okay. Want me to try it? Okay. I'm going to click it.
Can't see it.
Wait. Why isn't it working?
It's light.
It's light? You think so?
It's dead.
It's dead. What? Yeah, maybe. Does there need to be... What would help it to work, maybe?
Batteries.
Yeah, batteries would help it work. So, you know, it needs something inside of it for it to turn on, for it to shine and be a light, right, to help us. In order to fulfill its purpose of helping us see when it's dark, there's got to be something that's making it work, that's making it shine. And, you know, that's the same for us, too. We are called to be a light of the world. And if we don't have something inside of us to help us shine, then we're not going to be able to shine either. And it talks about that in Matthew. So I'm going to read a little bit about that in the Bible. And in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, it says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on the hilltop that cannot be hidden. So in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So that right there is telling us that we are supposed to be the light of the world, right? But how do we shine for people to see? What do we need inside of us to shine?
We can have God in our
God in our hearts would help us shine for people to see. Yeah, that's exactly right. So since the purpose of this is to shine a light, it needs something inside of it. That's what we're called to do too. So when we put this battery inside of here, just like if we have God in our hearts and we have that inside of us, then hopefully we'll be able to shine for others to see, like this light. You'll see that? So as we go throughout each day, we can be the light for people just in the darkness, just like this flashlight can be a light for us in the dark when we can't see. Let's pray about that. Dear for today, thank you for these wonderful children here, and thank you that with you inside of us, we can be a light for you. I pray that you'll shine through us and be with us the rest of the day. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
turn your hymnals to number 334, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior.
A while ago when we were singing Sunshine of My Soul, I felt like some of us might be partly cloudy. I'm not sure. We've had a lot of rain lately, haven't we? The rain is a blessing. But sometimes blessings don't always seem like they are. We invite you to open the prayer concerns. There are several here that we're going to be praying for, and you'll see the name on there, Mark Love. Mark had surgery this past week. He's doing well. He had an appendicitis and had that removed. And so we want to be remembering him as he continues to recoup. And also, I found out yesterday evening that Debbie Williams is at Moore Regional Hospital. She is struggling with diverticulitis, and they're giving her antibiotics. We think probably she'll be home tomorrow. I went up yesterday evening and she was actually feeling better, but has had kind of a miserable week as that has progressed on her through this week. And we want to continue to keep her lifted up in our prayers. Wayne Lambert also had carpal tunnel surgery this past week. We want to continue to remember him. Ms. Joanne Thomas had cardioconversion again, and we're still going in and out of that pattern. We want to continue to keep Joanne lifted up in our prayers. We want to remember Erica Lambert also. Erica has had some infection from the C-section that she did, and we want to keep her lifted up as she recoups. A long list. Just look at that ongoing list of names. Every one of them valued us and valuable to God. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we give the prayer report each week somewhat so we'll know maybe how to send a card or someone who might need a visit or phone call or some special act of love. And Lord, we don't mention every name. And this list, Lord, it could be 10 times longer than it is. For that's the world in which we live. And everyone who is in this sanctuary today needs prayer. I need prayer. And so, Lord, in the midst of the prayer for the people, the pastoral prayer, the prayer when we pause in the midst of worship to focus not only upon the needs of these that we have mentioned, and Lord, we lift them to you, but also we lift ourselves, O God, and ask that you might touch us, that you might again trim the wick, that our light might shine even brighter. And Lord, maybe there's some of us here today that the light's gone out. Oh, we don't want to say that. We don't even want to admit it. But here we are. We are examining the homes of disciples. And we're going to talk about the light. Oh God, would you just speak to us clearly? Thank you for FSYC and for the messages that they have already shared with us of what we believe and how we believe that important reality that Christ is the Son of God, the resurrected one, changes everything, and He is the light of the world. Remind us again of what we believe. Be with our choir now as they shall share a message in song, and then as we shall worship you from your word in spirit and in truth. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Brad, for leading us today while Jimmy is away today on a vacation day. And thank you, FSYC. Look forward to being with you tonight, 7 o'clock, a reception to follow. Hope you will make plans to come and encourage them and let God encourage you through them as we share this time together. Let me invite you to note on the back of your prayer list. See that? Where you say, that's in the bulletin, right? It is. It's in the bulletin. They're the words to the light of the world is Jesus. You're going to need those in a few moments. So get that handy if you would. We're going to sing that hymn. It's not in our hymn book. That's why we put it in our bulletin today. But it's going to be a part of our message. We're going to read a most familiar passage of Scripture today. I guess the most familiar passage. Every one of our Awanas can say this verse by heart. The first verse we're going to read. And some have said, I think it was Billy Graham, who said that all of the gospel is found in that one verse. It is indeed a challenge to us. And we're going to read even beyond that most familiar passage of John 3:16. As we begin there, and we're going to read through verses 21. And Jesus is going to remind us of a truth that's sometimes difficult for us to deal with. Have you ever been in a place where you knew you were wrong and you needed to come forward? Isn't that a hard journey? That's a hard journey. When I've got to come to you and say, I'm sorry. I've got to come and confess or admit that I've done something wrong. Jesus understands that. He gives us a glimpse into that. And yet still, he invites us to come. Our text, John chapter 3. We began to read in verse 16. We shall read through verse 21. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is a judgment. The light has come into the world. And people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you speak to us for a moment this morning, that we might hear clearly, understand fully, and make application completely in our life. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When I wrote this outline back at the first of the week, I had no idea that last night the power would go off. I claim no prophetic powers at all. Wasn't it sweet, though, that the power went off when we still had a little bit of daylight? I've been caught for days without power. I've experienced a dead battery in my car. Isn't that fun? And now they've decided to make them where they crank every time until they die. So you don't get that old, you know, and then you say, oh, I need to get a battery. Just one day it's brrrn, and then the next day it's Click, 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 click. I need to talk to somebody about that technology. Or as Becca showed us, a failed flashlight. Nothing is more frustrating than having that portable light in your hand and it not working. The light is coming to the world, Jesus says. A relationship with God is now possible because of that light. The home of a disciple, a follower of Christ, someone who has said, "I love you, Lord, with my whole heart," will be a place of light. Light that leads us to love, the love of God. I have understood and understand more each day I live that God's love is what makes us. You see, I had a period of time when I thought it was theology. Right theology, that would change you. And I have studied theology in my life. I love theology. It is a wonderful masterpiece of taking all that God has done and seeing how it weaves together so wonderfully. And it does. But alas, I've discovered that it's not theology. It pains me to say this. It's not even fine preaching. It changes us. It's not coercion. Although sometimes I need to be coerced, and sometimes I feel as though I am the one doing the coercing. But none of that will change you. We sometimes call it the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit moves in our life, that's what changes us. And that's true. But to even simplify that a little bit further, I would probably say it is love. It is God's love. That's what he said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That a condemned world, a world that was already condemned, a world that was already guilty, might have life and have it everlasting. The light leads us to God's love. That's what Jesus came to do. God sent us the light. That light that changes everything. When you read over in John's gospel, he talks about John in chapter 1, verses 9 and following. Jesus says he is the light of the world. Last night when the power went off at the house for an hour or so, I was reminded that it's significant. Light's significant. I guess before there were lights, we went to bed with the chickens and got up with the chickens. And now some of us get up with the chickens and go to bed when the chickens are about to get up again. Why? Because of light. Because the TV works and the internet works and the lights of the house work and we can do so much. But then I was reminded, as I often have been in the past, that a storm can knock out the lights. That a storm can knock out the lights, and they can knock it out in a rapid, short period of time. Wouldn't it be good to have a stormproof house? I heard of the fellow that spent $10,000 to buy a generator and it ran out of gas. Wouldn't it be great to have a source? A source that will give light through every storm, through every trial, through every difficult circumstance, through every power outage in my life. That's the love. I'm convinced that we don't need to be more committed. We need to be more compassionate. We need to love each other dearly and more deeply. Now, there's a possibility that I could do something you don't like. It's hard for me to even fathom, but it's possible. And if we had time to talk, I could tell you some stuff y'all were doing that I'd like to see you change. And you'd like to tell me. But that won't get it done. It's when I love you genuinely. And I love you with the same love that God has loved me with. We live in a time when the church is being challenged on many different fronts. Even our very mode of doing church is being called into question. And yet no one who has all these tremendous debates over how to do church and when to do church and where to do church and what church needs to look like, not a one of them says there's no need for the church. Because there is. We're all in full agreement that the body of Christ is the hope of the world. You and I, we're called to be those light bearers. How are we doing in Deep River? I told someone this morning when I think in our discipleship council meeting this morning that often when I ride down Deep River Road and you ride down the road you live on, how many people need the Lord? And here we're blessed with this beautiful building and more importantly than this beautiful building are the beautiful people who make up Flat Springs Baptist Church. We're called to be light bearers. How are we doing? We need to be having those house parties. I guess they started selling Tupperware. When I lived in Beaufort, they were selling jewelry. And where you invite everybody over. Maybe we need to have a light party. We need to be inviting one another to walk closer with our God. The light that Jesus says and he mentions for us after saying, God sent his son. And in verse 19, he says, and this is the judgment. Now, that's not a fun word, judgment. I don't like judgment. But here it is. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light. Why? Because our works were evil. You see, when we're called to be the light, we need to understand that it's not only the love of God, but it leads us to everlasting life. You lose stuff in the dark. I heard a story about a young boy and his mom, and I think there had been some boundaries set about when cookies would be consumed in the house. Do y'all have any of those boundaries? And the conversation began like this. Young man, there were two cookies in the pantry this morning. I look right now and there's only one. What do you have to say about that? And without a flinch, he said, well, it was so dark in there, I didn't see the other one, Mom. Well, you miss out in the darkness. I wonder what blessing God might have, what cookies God might have for us. But in the darkness, the darkness of being too busy to pray. The darkness of being too busy to allow God's word to permeate our heart and our mind. This past Wednesday night, our ACT teens went through a true love wait ceremony. And I had the privilege to look at the lessons that they had done. And one lesson I heard the teachers, I believe it was Ruth, over and over say, is God's word can't help you if you don't put it in your heart and in your mind. Isn't it amazing that maybe even this week we're going to face some challenge, that God has light for that challenge, but we're going to stay in the darkness? How about our homes? Are they that place where God's light is shining so brightly and so wonderfully? Oh, that's so important. We live in a culture that is a what have you done for me lately kind of culture. And yet the light promises life for now and life for later. the light of the world is Jesus, isn't it? The light of the world is Jesus. Often we sing hymns, and I have the advantage to watch you sing hymns. Some of you don't sing. I understand that. Sometimes we sing and I can almost see the fog in our eyes. Spiritual fog. Our mind might be on what's going to happen at 1 o'clock this afternoon, and how much longer is this service going to last, and did I leave that at the house the right way? But could I challenge us for just a moment to take our hymn, piano and organ, and Brad, come on up. And let's sing this old hymn. It's an old hymn. I asked if Becca knew it. It's not in the hymn book, and she knew it. So she's young, and if she knows it, you probably do too. And if you don't know the tune and you don't know the song, most of us will. But I want you to listen to these words. The whole world was lost. No darkness have we who abide in Jesus. The dwellers in darkness with sin-blind eyes. And then the last one is that future word. No need for sunlight in heaven. We're going to sing the chorus that is so powerful. The first time the instruments are going to play, and then the next three times we're going to sing it a cappella. Our voices are going to be the only instruments that will be playing this wonderful hymn. But oh, there's a truth here. The light of the world. The light of the world is Jesus. Let's stand together and sing.
Sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world.
Thank you. You may be seated. Finally, this morning, light leads us to leaving the darkness. Light leads us out of the darkness. Evil can slowly deceive us. And we begin to think that right is wrong and wrong is right. I love the little story about a fellow who flew from Chicago. He hired a taxi driver. And immediately they came to the first traffic light and it turned red. And the taxi driver ran right through the traffic light. "You're supposed to stop," the client hollered from the back. He says, "Yeah, but my brother, he drives and he does this all the time." No sooner had he got those words out, they came to the next intersection, and that light too was red. And again, with reckless abandon, the taxi driver drove straight through. Tires were squalling of cars trying to stay off. And the man said, "Man, you're going to kill us. Stop." He said, "Oh, no, my brother, he does it all the time." Fortunately for him, the next light was green. And suddenly the taxi driver slammed on brakes and stopped. He said, "Man, what are you doing? The light's green." He says, "Yeah, but my brother might be coming. I ain't going through there." You know, we've kind of gotten confused, haven't we? We've kind of gotten confused. That's what Jesus was talking about. He understood that the darkness would confuse us. And we start thinking that red lights mean go and green lights mean stop. We'd become confused, but it not only was in Jesus' day, in Isaiah chapter 5, beginning with verse 20, Isaiah says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight." That sounds like he may have written that for our culture and our time. You remember the story of the rich young ruler? It's found in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 23. He comes and he says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit life?" And Jesus says, "You know the law, keep the law." And he says, I've done that. I've kept the law all my life. Since I was just a wee little lad, I've kept the law." And Jesus said to him, "There's one thing you lack." I wonder if there's just one thing we lack today, being the light of the world. I wonder if there's just one thing. There's one thing that if we were to today give that to God, it might be a life changer. It's interesting, it's subtle in there. You might not read it the first time and catch it. But he says to him, We stop at the first part of what Jesus says. We don't get the last part of what he said. The first part's the hard part. That's the aggravating part. That's the irritating part. That's the part I don't like. Let's just skip it. Can we do that? Let's don't even go there. No, we can't do that. He says, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor." And that's usually where we stop. Now we're irritated, right? We're already aggravated. That doesn't make any sense. We fail to see the last part. The most important part of what Jesus did. Jesus met rich people all the time. Jesus went and ate with rich people all the time. And I don't think that every time when he walked out of a rich man's house, he said, "By the way, you ought to sell everything and come follow me." He never did do that. But that's what he said to this young man. He said, "One thing you lack, go and sell. Get rid of the stuff. Because your stuff's in your way. Your stuff's in your way." Listen to that. Your stuff's in your way. But the last part, it's the short little part. He said, "And come and follow me." That's an invitation he gave to the apostles and only the apostles. You may remember when he went over to the Gerasene and there was a demoniac who had been falling on fires and Jesus cast out. He cast out the demons. And the man said, "Oh, I'm going to come follow you." And Jesus said, No. I'm not going to give you that invitation. Stay where you are." But here's the exact invitation. He invited this rich young ruler to come become an apostle. We don't know his name because he went away sorrowfully. But if he had followed Christ, there'd have been 13 apostles. Maybe Matthias would have never made it, because if 12 was what he wanted after Judas went away, he would have already had him. He gave him the call to be an apostle. What call does God give us today? Oh, I read a passage from a writer by the name of William Boyce, who once wrote, "Dear Lord, I've been reading and rereading the record of the rich young ruler, and it's obviously wrong choice. But it has set me to thinking. No matter how much wealth he had in his day, he could not or did not have a car or couldn't ride in a car. He couldn't go to a hospital or have surgery. He couldn't turn on a light with a light switch. He didn't know what penicillin was. He couldn't hear an organ. He didn't know what a television was. He had no concept of the internet. He didn't understand about running water in his house. He didn't know about even typewriters, more or less computers. He didn't know about gas-operated lawnmowers at all. The idea of flying in a plane, he never could have done. Sleeping on an innerspring mattress, talking on a phone. If he was rich, what am I? If he was rich, what am I? You see, we struggle against the darkness. Oh, I would dare to say there's probably some of us here today that our stuff is keeping us in our darkness. Probably so. But others of us, probably not. There's fun in the darkness. There are friends in the darkness. There's entertainment in the darkness. And there are more in the darkness than there are in the light. But hear what Jesus teaches us. There's death in the darkness. And there's brokenness in the darkness. And there's pain and confusion in the darkness. Goodness is in the light. I mentioned as we began this sermon that last night, for an hour and a half or so, 312 homes in our community were without power. I mentioned to the Wednesday night prayer group that on the mantle of my house, in my den, one of my wonderful possessions that I love dearly is an Aladdin lamp. It's an old oil lamp. That's not the Aladdin that you rub it and a genie doesn't come out. It's not that one. These were old. They were glass made. Some of them were metal. My daddy collected them throughout all of his life. And at one time, he had several dozen. And he gave me his cobalt blue one. I always thought it was the prettiest. I'm sure that's why he gave it to me. And it sits on my mantle. It is set there. It sat on the mantle in Winston-Salem before it sat on the mantle in Sanford. And I have gone and I have got a mantle for it. It's a type A, okay, for you Aladdin lamp kind of guys. It's got the wick. It's got a chimney. I've even got a bug catcher on top of the chimney. But I don't like that lamp. Yesterday when the power went out, I went out to the outbuilding and I got my Coleman lantern. I noticed the wick was about half tore off on one side of my lantern, but it still lit. I don't respect it. I throw it in this case. I throw it in the corner. It sits up on that dusty shelf. But when I need light, when the power goes off, not that cobalt blue, brand spanking new mantle, brand spanking new wick. No, it's just for show. It's a keepsake. It has sentimental value to me. Brothers and sisters, God help us if the church ever becomes sentimental. God help us if our walk with Christ ever becomes that we have all the appearance of being light bearers, but we don't light it. If we don't sing every day, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine," then God help us. For Jesus was right. There is a way that seems right unto men, and it's in the darkness. And many go that way. Most of our culture, a majority, a vast majority of our culture is headed down the wide road that Jesus says leads to destruction. But there's a narrow way. Maybe just with a flashlight. Maybe we don't have the searchlight or those big lights like at the airports. Or like New York City when it's lit up at night. Or like Las Vegas when it's lit up at night. But our light leads to life. Hear Jesus' words one more time. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light. But those who do good do so that we may see clearly that their works have been carried out. Come to the light is shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world, the light of Deep River, the light of our homes is Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you speak to us in this moment? As we examine our own lives right now in light of you, may you shine upon us brightly. We sometimes sing, shine, Jesus, shine. Would you shine upon us and hear the invitation to follow you? And Lord, if it's whatever it is that's in our way, that we have put in the wrong place, that we have put ahead of you, in front of you, we've made it a higher priority than you. And Lord, it could be one of a million things this day. It could be collecting Aladdin lamps. Or collecting pennies. Or it could be working on a masterpiece. Or it could be enjoying your creation more than enjoying you, our Creator. But you know, oh God. And now we invite you to be our light and shine upon us brightly. And may we leave the darkness and come to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 429. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision, we would invite you to do so as we stand together. Thank you again for being here. Do remember tonight, FSYC will be doing their program at 7 o'clock. This Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, there's going to be a mission meeting of those going to Kentucky. We would invite everyone who is still interested or thinking about going to go and be a part of that. We did postpone the prayer walk because of all that rain. I think we ought to fire Greg Fischel, but that's okay. He did the best he could in the rain game last night. But we have postponed that till June the 4th. And that gives us a little bit more time to prepare. All of our organizations, our Sunday school classes, what do we need to be praying about? Where do we need to be allowing God's light to shine on what we're doing that we might have that time together? Please remember also, next week is Memorial Day, and we will be doing the commemoration at the end of our service out in the cemetery. Very meaningful service, and hope that you'll plan to be a part of that. I think I mentioned it, if I didn't, the VBS literature is over in the church office. We put in the fellowship hall, but it's over. Teachers, if you want to go get your literature, you can do that over there. Other announcements are in the bulletin. I would invite you to read them. Becca, would you come and join me? Becca has joined us this past week and has been working hard. I gave her a list. I reached right from here to the front door, and she's got about a third of that done yet. But we are delighted that God has brought her to be our summer intern. I'm going to invite you to be with me at the door. I know you'll want to come by and wish her well, and also promise your prayer and support to her as she leads the ministries, helps us lead the ministries of our church together. We are delighted to have that opportunity. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people of light in the midst of all His people. Would you pray? God, may the tune that catches in our mind and in our heart be this little light of mine, and help us to let it shine. In Jesus' name, amen.